Let's pray together. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice to come into Thy presence. Father, we do know and understand that this is Your house, and Father, we have come on holy ground, Father, knowing that You've promised to meet with us when we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do pray, Father, that You would bless us, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We again remember those who are denied the privilege of public worship, and those who are confined to their homes or hospitals or nursing homes or wherever they might be. But we know, Father, that You're able to visit them and heal and comfort them, and we do pray that that would be the case. But Father, just now, I pray that You would bless us as we study the Word. I pray that You would bless me to preach the Gospel and bless each one of us to hear and to understand. Help us, Father, to walk closer to Thee in days to come. And Father, we confess that we're poor and needy sinners, but we pray that You would forgive us for Christ's sake, for it is in His name that we pray. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah in the 60th chapter. I want to read the first three verses to begin our study this morning. Again, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. I especially love the Old Testament scriptures. I think I love them because I'm able to see them in the light of the New Testament. But you can take just about any New Testament principle and go back in the Old Testament and find it illustrated for us. And it's just as if God painted a picture to show us these New Testament principles. And certainly the Old Testament prophesies of the things that are revealed in the New Testament. So we take the old and the new together, and God's Word is just open to us if we'll take the time to study. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. All of it is profitable to us. So when we look at the Old Testament, these things have to have significance to us. It has to be profitable to us. And I pray that the Lord would show us how to profit by these Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, God's Word says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." In this passage of Scripture, the prophet is addressing Zion. And Zion, in the Old Testament, is that center of the worship of God. Oftentimes, the prophets will address Zion, or they will address Jerusalem. And I think Jerusalem often speaks of the civil government of God's people, where Zion talks about the religious center, that it is the place of worship. God is talking to His people, especially those religious and worshiping people. But in the Old Testament, when it speaks to Zion, I believe it is a picture of the New Testament church. So when God speaks to Zion, He's speaking to us today. And what He says to the church generally applies to each one of us individually. So I believe God has given a command here to the church to arise and shine. But I believe since He speaks to the church, we are the church. So it is incumbent upon each and every one of us individually to arise and shine. And we can find a very similar command in the writings of the Apostle Paul, stated in a little bit different way, but the principle is very much the same. As we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, again, Ephesians 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So the idea is the same. And in both of these instances, God is calling upon His people to to repent. You know, the first sermon that John the Baptist, forerunner of Jesus Christ, his message was always to the people, repent. And the first sermon that Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is an ongoing command that we need to repent daily. And we need that message of repentance. And it comes in a lot of different ways. I remember in the writings of Jeremiah, I think about four times in one chapter, he calls on the people to amend your ways. Amend your doings. Change the way you do things. It seems we don't hear the message of repentance very much anymore. And maybe we should hear it more. Sometimes we're preaching, we don't use the word repent, but the principle is there. When God calls on His people to change their ways, do things differently, think differently, it is a message of repentance. So when the prophet Isaiah back in those days called upon the people to arise and shine, and he says, "For thy light is come," we need to remember the conditions that God's people faced in that day. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2 that I read to you, he said, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." So darkness was on the face of the earth, covered the whole earth. Darkness in Scripture talks about sin, death, the world without God, ignorance, and all those other things. That's the way the world in general was in that day. Remember, God called on His people to live in a different way. And notice the words of the prophet here. He said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You have light. Now, I understand, and it should be evident to all of us, that this is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. He talks in verse 2 about darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There's coming a day when more light is going to come, when God will be fully revealed in Jesus Christ, and the Gentiles will be drawn to Him. But God's people in Isaiah's day had light. They had the light of God in the law. They had the temple there where they could come and worship. They had the Ark of the Covenant where God promised that He would meet with His people. His brightness shone upon His people. But they chose to live in darkness. God had called on them to be a separate people, and they chose to be like the rest of the world. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 59. We'll read several verses here. But I think the conditions in Isaiah's day are very much like the conditions in our day. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning at verse 1. The prophet said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Isaiah says the problem is not that God is not able. The problem is that you've separated yourself from God. You've not relied on Him. You've not followed Him. You've not taken hold of His power. And that's the case very much today, I believe. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We walk just like the ungodly world. Skip down to verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory of the rising sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit is upon thee, and my words have I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. In those terrible conditions, the Lord says, my Redeemer is coming. To Zion, the Redeemer comes. To us, the Redeemer has come. Verse 20 here says, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. He's coming to Zion, he's coming to the church, he's coming to all those that repent and turn to the Lord. All those that recognize that their light has come. All those who recognize the power that God has put in our hands. So, in the light of the darkness of that day, Isaiah calls on the people to arise and shine. And I believe that's the message to us today. Arise and shine. Well, what does that really mean? How do we do that? But to those people that Isaiah addressed, before he gave the command to arise and shine, he'd already told them what they needed to do. He had already told them how they could shine as lights in this dark world. In Isaiah chapter 58, let's begin reading at verse 6. In the previous verses, the Lord, through the prophet, is condemning people who are claimed to be fasting to the Lord. They fast, but they've not changed their ways. They're still living the same way that they've always lived. And God said that He didn't command them to fast in that manner. But in verse 6, he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise upon the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, and do not thine own ways, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Now, the Lord says, here's the kind of fast that I want you to perform. That you show acts of kindness. That you provide for the poor. That you honor the Sabbath day. That you come and worship like I've commanded you to worship. Notice there in verse 9, the Lord says, do that, then thou shalt call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. He talks about putting forth the finger. He's talking about pointing the finger at others. Accusing others. Finding fault with others. Blaming others. You point the finger at somebody else. God says, point the finger right here. Examine yourself and see that you're doing the things that God commands us to do. Then the Lord said, when you cry unto me, I will hear and I will answer. Simply put, if you repent and turn to me, then the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. Now, as I said before, God gave them the command to arise and shine. He had already given them instructions of how they were to do that. I read to you in the beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul commands us to arise from the dead. And I believe in that instance also he had given instructions previous to the command and told us how we are to conduct ourselves. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning at the first verse, and I'll read a lengthy passage here as well. I've told you on numerous occasions that in Paul's writings, he begins by laying down doctrinal principles. In Ephesians especially, he tells us what we were by nature, dead in trespasses and in sin. But he talks about God, who is rich in mercy, has quickened us together in Christ. He's given us light. That's what God has done for us. And then he talks about what we are to do as a result of it. So if you near the end of the book by the Apostle Paul, you know that you're going to get some commands about what we are to do and how we are to conduct ourselves. So in chapter 5 and beginning of the first verse, Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's adopted us into his family, made us his own, and Paul says, now act like the children of God. Be followers of God as His dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There again, there's what God has done for us. So we are to walk in love. As He loved us, we're to demonstrate His love in our life. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Isaiah said, rise, shine, because light has come upon you. Paul says, we once were darkness, but now we're light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, arise, thou that sleepest. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paul has previously said, we were sometimes darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. He says, when we awake and rise from the dead, then Christ shall give thee light. We are light, we have light, and when we begin to walk as children of light, Christ gives us even more light. And we become a light to others. And we obey that command that we read together in the beginning, that Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we arise and shine, we glorify God. And we lead others to see the glory of God. So I pray that we'll take heed both to the Old Testament command to arise and shine, the New Testament command to awake and rise from the dead, to walk as children of light. May God grant it for Christ's sake, is my prayer.